Welcome to our Memorial Day weekend. So glad that you're here. Before we get started, one thing I want to say to you is that the piece of paper that's on your chair, don't take notes on that. That's going to be for something a little bit later on in the service. You'll see that we're going to do. It's going to be really special. But you can take notes on your program, but don't write on that yet, because that's got something special for us. Hey, before we get started today, I want to ask this question. If you have lost a loved one, a family, a friend, grandfather, grandmother, husband, wife, son or daughter, niece, nephew, aunt, uncle, in the line of duty as a military, in the military, or as a first responder, would you stand up if you've lost somebody? All right. Anybody else? A few of you? If you've lost somebody. So you guys are standing in proxy. You guys are standing in proxy. Stay standing just for a second. Sorry. And you guys are standing in proxy for those who've made the ultimate sacrifice. I was thinking about what would be a way to honor those people who have made that sacrifice. And I certainly think a moment of silence would be good. I think a prayer would be good. But I also think in our culture, if those people, if we could line everybody up who has made that ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, I would want to throw a big parade and just cheer for them. So can we stand as a church, just everybody, and just give our thanks and appreciation. Yeah. Awesome. Well, welcome. Next week, I'm going to be starting a new series called Supernatural, and you're going to have to buckle in for this one. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about how we are living in a physical world, but we're also living in a very spiritual world, and we're going to learn how to fight some battles that go on in our life from a position of victory. And it's going to be great. I want to encourage you to come for the next 4 weeks. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare next week. Then the week after that, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Then on Father's Day weekend, we're talking about demons. We didn't plan that out intentionally. And then the fourth week, we will wrap up with angels. And so some topics that we just don't really talk about a whole lot, but they are there. And it's all throughout Scripture. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to stretch me as a pastor. And I think it'll stretch us as a church as we really dive into this. And I just want you to be praying for me and pray for our teaching team as we're diving into this over the next few weeks. And then wrapping up June, Dr. Pete Allenson, some of you know him, is going to be here speaking as a special guest, a friend of mine, who is awesome. You don't want to miss it. So June is packed out, and we are looking forward to a great, great month. Well, today, on this Memorial Day weekend, I want us to celebrate the most decorated soldier of all time, the commander of the Lord's armies, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright morning star, the almighty one, the bread of life, the deliverer, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty one, our hope, our peace, the one who sets us free. He is the supreme creator over all. He's the word, he's the truth, and he's the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, and the prince of peace. We're talking about Jesus Christ today. Yeah. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, setting us free from the slavery and bondage of sin in our lives. He paid the ultimate price for our freedom. And today I want to talk about one of the ways that we continually remind ourselves of this sacrifice and also remind ourselves of his return. So if you're new to church, if you've just been kind of here seeking this thing out, you've been here for a week or so maybe, you've seen us do communion before, and maybe you've wondered what all that is about. And I wanted to spend some time taking all of us as a church through some truths about communion. Communion has a lot of different names. It's called the Lord's table. You may have heard that. The Lord's supper, the breaking of bread, the Eucharist, or giving thanks. And there are two ordinances in the church, two ordinances that have been given to us. What is an ordinance? It's an An ordinance is an edict, or it's a regulation, or it's a rule of law for us as Christians. And as Christians, we've been given two ordinances that are not optional in the Christian life. We are actually commanded to do them. They're not what saves us, but they are critical components to the way that we live our faith out. One of those is baptism. If you were here last week, you saw a great moment in our church where Natalie was baptized. So baptism. Baptism is typically, it's a one-time event, although there are occasions when someone who wasn't baptized maybe for the right reason or doesn't remember their baptism or maybe someone else made the decision for them to be baptized, but it wasn't their own decision, so they want to be baptized again. And that's totally fine. We do that all the time. But baptism is so important to the Christian life because you are actually dying to yourself. You're crucifying with Christ. You're dying to yourself. You're going under the water. It's like you're being buried with Christ, and then you raise up in new life. It is also the marking point for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful partnership with Jesus, and it's commanded for us to do that. And if you haven't been baptized and you're a faith follower of Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to make that decision because I think you're missing out on a very critical component in this ordinance that was commanded to us. The other one is communion. And communion is meant to be a constant reminder for the believer for what Jesus has done for us. That it was never given to us by Jesus to be just this ceremonial ritual. It's meant to be a way of life for us. It's a part of our very being. It's in our soul in remembering him. And the Apostle Paul, he gave some instructions on the church, to the church. He gave some instructions about how to participate in the Lord's Supper from what Jesus had said. And he gave instructions to this church in Corinth that we're going to look at today. I wish I had like an hour to talk to you about the Corinthian letter because it's just fascinating about this church in Corinth. And this church in Corinth, man, they had really strayed. They had gone astray from what God's plan was and the purpose of the church and what the church was about. And Paul had planted this church in Corinth and then he goes on to plant churches in other places and he hears about how that they have drifted from their main purpose as a church. And so he writes this letter to Corinth, to the church in Corinth that we call Corinthians. And we say it's the first Corinthians. So it's the first letter that we have of Paul writing to this Corinthian church. And he deals with some real cultural problems, some things that culturally had crept into the church. He dealt with divisions that were in the church. Some were wanting to follow this teacher and some were wanting to follow this teacher. And Paul says, no. We're following Jesus Christ here. We're not following this pastor or this pastor or this pastor. We're following Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. He deals with division. He deals with some food issues. He deals with some sex issues a lot, which is why we did that last week. We talked about that. If you missed it, you can catch it online. I don't want to go over that again for another year at least, you know. But Paul dealt with that because there was a lot of the culture that was creeping into the church in Corinth. And so he dealt with that. And the other thing that he dealt with is he dealt with the wrong thinking on the resurrection. There was some wrong thinking on that. But what we're going to look at today is how he dealt with how that they were actually treating communion wrong. And they were doing communion wrong. And so we want to talk about that because Paul spent a good bit of his time trying to help restore this church. And this is one of those topics. And this is what he has to say about communion. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to start with verse 23. It's a pretty good sized chunk. So I want you to kind of dig in with me. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we're going to break it down. I normally like to have a one-point message. Like I want you to have one point when we get, you know, when you're done here and you go home, I like to have a one-point message. Today is a nine-point message, okay? It's a nine-point message, but it'll go fast, I promise you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. This is the word of the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, which means that they've died. For if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home. So that way, when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I'm going to give you further direction. So he's planning a visit to go back to this Corinth church and still try to straighten some things out. So what I want to do is I want to kind of break this down. I want to go through these 9 facts about communion. All right, you ready for this? Number one. Communion is for the believer in Jesus Christ. Communion is for the believer in Jesus Christ. This is one of the few things that we do when we gather that's specifically for the person who believes in God and has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we don't have communion police here. We leave that up to you. But this is a time, if you don't believe in Jesus and you haven't put your trust and faith in Jesus, if you haven't been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can't possibly feel the full weight here of what has happened, of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Number two, communion should stimulate our hearts to remember the finished work of Jesus Christ dying for our sins on the cross. Jesus established this breaking of bread, this fellowship, this celebration that we do together. He established this as a reminder for his finished work on the cross. What he did says that the old covenant, the Old Testament covenant of sacrificing animals is no longer valid anymore. I am going to come as the final, ultimate Lamb of God, pure and sinless Son of God, and I'm going to be the ultimate sacrifice for you. And this is for you. This promise is a new covenant. It's a new covenant for you. Number three, communion is commanded. It's commanded for us to do. Do this in remembrance of you. It doesn't get any more plain than that. Jesus said, do this. I wish there were more things that were so plain, you know, in my life. Do this, Mitch. Okay, I'll do it. And so I wish Jesus would say sometimes, do this. Okay. And this is what he says. Do this. And remember, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. Now, some churches take communion daily. Some churches take it weekly. Some take it monthly, bi-monthly. Some take it quarterly. But all are commanded to participate in the Lord's Supper. Honestly, as we look through Scripture, there's really no rule about how often that we take it. We see examples in the book of Acts of where the early church met in the homes daily and broke bread together. We see examples where they met on the first day of the week. We know through certain cultures that they had to take it on Saturday night under the cover of darkness when they gathered together. So there's no hard and fast rule about communion. If you grew up like me, communion itself almost became more sacred than Christ, it seemed like. And it was like, if you missed communion, you couldn't be forgiven of your sins for this week, you know? And that's the kind of the way that I grew up. I don't know if anybody else grew up that way. And man, those churches really missed the whole point of what Jesus was saying. They were trying hard. But likewise, there's other churches who I think that don't remind themselves frequently enough about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But whatever the case is, this is really important for us. Whatever the case is, don't get hung up so much on how often that you take communion. If you're going to get hung up on something, get hung up on always being thankful for what Jesus has done and always being remembering the sacrifice of what Jesus has done and always looking forward to the Maranatha, come quickly, the Lord Jesus, when he returns for us. Now, at River Run, we have always had communion as part of our worship services on a weekly basis, except for occasions where maybe there would just be so many people that weren't Christians, it didn't make sense in attendance or for certain special events. But the challenge for us, the challenge for me and the challenge for you is that not to make this so habitual that it becomes so commonplace for us, that it becomes this ceremonial religious ritual that we do, rather than truly remembering what our friend, what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we have to dig in. You and I, when we come to communion, we have to dig into this thing. And we have to focus our minds on Christ rather than just doing this religious task. All right, that was number three. Number four, communion is not just a meal. It's not just a meal. It can be connected to a meal. In fact, it was connected to a meal in the early church. It was connected to a meal in the church in Corinth. And even when Jesus had communion with the disciples, it was connected to a larger meal. But it was separated out as a distinct time of remembrance during the meal. Number five, confession of our sins is connected to communion. Confession of our sins is connected to communion. When we remember the sacrifice, we must remember and recognize our sins that caused Jesus to sacrifice for us in the first place. Without our sins, there would be no need for Jesus. Without our sins, there would be no need for Jesus to die on the cross. Without our sins, there would be no Jesus for died on the cross and to be resurrected. There would be no need for communion, period. But we are all sinners. And we know that when we confess, he is faithful. He will forgive us of our sins. Can anyone, we use this verse a lot. This may freak you out a little bit. Can anybody quote 1 John 1:9? Can you stand up and quote that? Anybody feel comfortable? 1 John 1:9? Yeah.
We confess our sins.
Yeah, right. That's right. Good job. Give him a hand, you guys. Give him a hand. I don't think I would have done that. I'd have been too nervous. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will purify us from all of our unrighteousness. So confession is important for us. We're going to have an opportunity to do that in a little bit. Number six, communion is a celebration of Jesus' return. It's not just this idea like we sometimes focus so much on the funeral aspect of it, but it's actually a remembrance of Jesus' return for us, that he resurrected from the dead as well. And communion can and should be celebrated. And I think that's one thing we probably don't do enough. We don't celebrate enough, in my opinion. Some churches, they worship in their celebration moment as they are breaking bread in their fellowship. And they are saying full on praise, Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. I will never forget you. I will never forget you. And I can't wait for your return. I'm going to give 7, 8, 9 right in a row, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit, okay? 7, 8, and 9. Number 7, communion is to be taken in a worthy manner. Communion is to be taken in a worthy manner. Number 8, we should examine our hearts when we take communion. And number 9, if we take communion in an unworthy manner, we may face a divine paddling from the Lord, a divine discipline from the Lord. Now, I want to unpack these three things. What does it mean to take communion in an unworthy manner? So I think this is where the biggest confusion can happen in the church. When I was growing up and in some Christian circles, I misinterpreted for many years what Paul was even meaning here. In some churches, they put this fear in believers who may be struggling with a sin in their life. And they can't take communion because they've had this sin in their life. And if they take communion, they would actually be taking communion in an unworthy manner. And listen, that nothing could be further from the truth in this. If that was the case, every single one of us would be barred from taking communion every single week because of the sin in our life. None of us are worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It was only because of the grace of God and the mercy of God that we are saved. And all of us are unworthy. Now, let me explain. Let me explain what that looks like. So this is part confession as well to you. I got pulled over. I got pulled over this past week. Orange County Sheriff Deputy right there. I got pulled over. Now, if I'd been in my truck, no big deal. My truck, you know, it won't hardly make it to the speed limit. I can do 0 to 60 in 6.2, hours. But I was on my motorcycle. And it's a little zippier, you know. And I got it pulled over. First time since I was a kid. And I got pulled over for going 45 in a 25. So that's right. Matt, would you have given me a ticket on that? Yeah, so no. So I got pulled over, and I thought about trying to play the pastor card. But I thought that kind of reeked of entitlement, so I thought, I'm not going to do that. And then I thought about trying to name drop all my buddies on the Seminole County Sheriff's Department, and then I thought, no, I'm just going to play this thing out, let the judgment be. I was guilty, let the judgment be what the judgment is, So he came and he took my license and he went back to his truck. And by the way, the guys in the trucks can pull you over the same as the guys in patrol cars. I didn't know that, but I do now. And he goes back to his truck, and he comes back to me, and I'm sitting there waiting for it. And he goes, "Tell you what I'm going to do, Mr. Todd." He goes, "I'm going to give you a warning." And I went, "Put her there, old buddy." And I was like, "I'm the pastor at River Run Christian Church. You guys are the best. I love Seminole County Sheriff's Department. You guys watch our property so good. I know so and so and so and so." I just left it all out there. I know so and so and so and so. And I was like, "Let me tell you, what you've taught me is the message between grace and mercy. Grace is being given, what we don't deserve. Mercy is not being given what we do deserve." I think this guy's probably going like, "Ay, ay, ay, I should have just..." Should have just gave the guy a ticket, So I invited him to church, and he's actually said he's going to show up today. Possibly he's on duty, but it was a fantastic. We actually ended up chatting, had a good conversation. I saw him again yesterday morning, pulled off on the side of the road. I started to pull off and chat with him, but I thought he might think I was a stalker, so I just left him be. But here's the thing: grace is being given something that we don't deserve. But mercy is not being given something that we do deserve. Grace is our salvation. Mercy is not receiving the penalty of death on the cross. You see, it should be me that was crucified for my sins. It should be you. But Jesus, in his grace, in his mercy, paid the ultimate price for us. And communion is this place where we remember that grace and we remember that mercy of God through the work of Jesus. And when we come to a time of communion, it isn't that we have to be perfect in our lives in order to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. In fact, it's just the opposite of that. We all come to the table with all of our sin, with all of our brokenness, and we confess to God, and we give thanks to God for the mercy and grace he's poured out on our lives. Now, the problem with the church in Corinth, and what he was writing about when Paul was writing to this church, the problem with the church in Corinth, they were coming flippantly, they were coming arrogantly, they were coming selfishly, they were coming bringing potlucks in Greek fashion. And the wealthy were over here eating food while the poor had nothing over here. On top of that, the wealthy people were getting hammered on the wine. And Paul was saying, "This is wrong, you guys. You're treating this with contempt. You guys are missing the whole point. You're drinking and eating judgment on yourselves by your selfish and prideful arrogance here. This is a time of remembering what our friend Jesus did for us. It can be a celebration time. That's okay. But listen, it's got to be for the right reason. And God is so concerned with us participating in this time for the right reason, that there's a divine paddling from him when we treat this time with contempt. But don't ever think, listen, don't ever think, and if you've grown up in one of those churches, don't ever think that your sin can keep you from coming to the cross of Jesus and remembering what he's done for you. All right, what I want us to do is something we've never done this before, but we wanted to try to make this a kind of a cool focus time for us as a way just to really get our minds wrapped around this. So think about communion and do it in a fresh way. Nate's going to come out and explain this, and we're going to have a time to just kind of worship quietly through this moment here. But what I want you to do right now in preparation, I want everybody to grab one of the pieces of paper, those pieces of paper, and grab a pen. And I put some examples up here. So what you want to do, I want you to confess your sin that you want to bring before the Lord this morning. Remember, when we confess, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, we're not going to look at these. I'm not going to look at these. Nobody's going to look at these. When they're done, when we fill this wall up eventually, and we fill this wall up with all of our sins, we're going to destroy all these. And that's going to be symbolic for us. That your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. You know, the interesting thing, you can keep going north and you're going to run into the south. You're going to South Pole, North Pole. You keep going east, you're never going to run into west. And God says, that's how far your sins are separated out from me. So when you confess your sins before the Lord, and you go back and you say, God, forgive me for that again. He goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because your sins have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. And so symbolically today, I want you to write down, think of the sin that you would like to release to the Lord, that you would like to have him forgive you for, and write that down on a piece of paper. And then during our time of communion, we're going to have three sections today, and Nate's going to explain this. And then we'll have an opportunity, each section we'll have an opportunity to place our sins in this prayer wall right here. So take just a few moments, and then we'll continue on in our worship.